Pickaxe.
Jesus Christ.
What is that?
Was that like a, was that a flipping carton of Ribena or something? What were you doing?
Chocolate milk. It was a little carton of Jersey chocolate milk.
God, you were like chugging that down.
At 10 a.m. in the morning.
Take it easy, sis.
Yeah, when do you want to have chocolate milk? 10 a.m. in the morning is like the best time.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a breakfast drink to me.
It does, though. I mean, when I was a kid, I had those little boxes of cereal, you know, the 8-pack, the variety pack, right?
Yeah.
Where you got, the idea was that you'd have like one different breakfast cereal every morning, right? Like you'd have Frosties, then Cocoa Pops, then et cetera. And Cocoa Pops were always the favorite, right? Because you get to put milk. Sorry, we've started the podcast.
No intro or anything this time. It's just bam, we're right in. Got so much to talk
straight
about.
Straight into
week,
chocolate
guys.
Milk where the action is. Let's go.
That's it.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm joined by Sips and PFlax. So over those variety packs, man, honestly, let's just talk about those for a second. I'm sure we've done this before.
Tetra packs is what they call them. They call them Tetra packs.
Well, that's because the company is called Tetra Pack.
Oh.
Two lads. Yeah, they've made a fortune. As you can imagine, because pretty much every one of those cartons is Tetra Pak. So, yeah, they made a fortune. There is a very funny video. Do you remember that show that used to be on? You know the way nowadays you can just go to YouTube and find funny compilation clips of newsreaders fucking up or people falling over or whatever?
Yeah.
Back in the day, all we had was Dennis Norden and his laughter files, where he would find bloopers and he would fucking be on a stage with an audience and he'd introduce it. Now in this next clip coming up, we've got a newsreader who doesn't quite know what's going on behind them, and then they'll cut to the clip. So there's like an intro for every clip, and then he sort of assesses each clip when it's finished. He goes, well, my favorite part of that, like, you know, it's like you're having a conversation with Dennis and watching a list of his YouTube favorites. Nowadays, we don't have any presenters for that kind of shit. You just bing, bang, bosh, out it comes. I've forgotten what my original point was, but it was a good one. It was
We're
a good one.
Completely off topic.
Man,
what the fuck?
Flax is definitely showing his age now, where he can't even remember the point of the story that he's
like
trying to tell.
Struggling
to
like, it's like, well, I was a young boy. I used to wear tennis shoes.
Yeah,
you
might think that I'm trailing off a little bit here. And you'd you'd be absolutely correct. I don't even remember putting on underpants this morning.
Chocolate milk. In my day, we just had regular chocolate and regular milk.
You either had milk or you had a bar of chocolate. There was no combination of the two.
Kids these days are spoiled with a chocolate in the milk.
They're all mixing together all the stuff like we didn't have any.
We had to carry a barrel of milk and a barrel of chocolate on our back. It was about 200 weight of chocolate and 400 weight of milk. Now, to heat the milk, you had to start a fire. To do that, you had to know how to do it. Nowadays, kids just go to the internet and Google fire, and they get a fire. It's ridiculous. No one knows how to do anything themselves. Right. So anyway,
that's right.
Tetra Pak.
Back in the day, we had rice, and we had pudding. We didn't know how to combine them.
You had your rice separate to your pudding. Back in my day.
Man named Jebediah came up with the idea of combining things. And he said, what if we took the rice and the pudding and put them together? And we all said, goodness.
It's always
back in the day because we had the peanuts and we had the butter.
We never thought it didn't occur to us. We thought, well, we're happy with the peanuts and the butter's just fine where it is. But now everybody's combining the peanuts and the butter, making the peanut butter. I just think we're going too far. What next? Combining a man and a woman to make a child? Well, we never thought of such a thing in our time. Children just appeared, fully grown from the earth.
Completely bald.
Why is it always an American Wild Western man accent who's short of breath all the time as well? He's just kind of running off. It's always
I think it's just a funny accent. It's just inherently
really
funny.
It's a comical accent, isn't it?
But anyway, so the Tetra Pak, guys, there's a this is going about 10 minutes back at the very start of the podcast, talking about podcasts.
Tetra Pak, they make like the squeezy bottles for you to have your
drinks. But before that, there
in.
Was a guy on the Dennis Norden Laughter Files, I'm sure you'll find it if you look hard enough, of a guy demonstrating how easy milk cartons are to open. And he has to get a pair of scissors out and it's spilling all over the fucking place and he keeps taking little snips here and he's like speaking in German and the guy watching is like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, so if it's 6 foot and snipping on the top and snip, snip. And then he goes to pour it and just fucking floods out. It's like, this is why we have Tetra Pak, guys. This is why.
Nice.
When I used to go to Canada, my grandparents who lived in Ottawa.
Whoa, they lived in Ottawa?
They did, yeah. I've got a ton of family out in Ottawa, so... The milk always came in like a bag.
Yeah, that's a very Eastern Canada thing, like Ontario especially, I think. Like we used to get – so I used to work at a grocery store and we used to get racks of these bags of milk. They come in – so you get three small bags, which equals to about 4 liters of milk in like one big bag. And these things would come in a rack with like, I don't know, 50 of these bags. And you'd have to wheel it all around. It was so fucking heavy and you constantly got your hands jammed in between racks because impossible to stop them once they gained momentum and stuff.
Oh, man.
And the bags
would... Runaway milk in aisle four!
The bags would occasionally split. So these big racks had to be put on these like... it was like kind of like a draining platform. So like in case there was a leak in the bag, it's like... potentially 4 liters of milk leaking out of this thing, right? So it had to go on this, it's like a platform with a drain. And every week on a Saturday, if you drew the short straw, you had to clean out like the gutters underneath where the milk bags were.
Oh my God.
Oh my fucking God. If there was spills that week as well, like all this milk would just be underneath these grates, just chilling and turning orange. And the smell was fucking unbelievable. You had to get these power washers and just like wash it all, unclog the drain and like wash it all down the drain. Ugh. Fuck me, it was like the worst job.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, that's butter effectively, I guess. But no, these days they would have... also these days, right, you wouldn't get that shit. You'd get all this other fucking milk, like soy milk and coconut milk and oat milk.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think bag milk is still a thing. Like, I'm pretty sure my brother, like who still lives in Ottawa, sent me a picture recently of like... You had to get these special containers that the milk bag would go into, and then you have to like, you could get like this little knife thing to like snip the corner. I don't know. I always just like assume that in North America that was the done thing, but apparently it's not. It's like only certain
parts. I wonder
parts.
If because of the cold weather, maybe having it in a flexible bag means that if it gets cold and freezes, like because we used to get milk delivered, like milk bottles delivered. And when it gets really cold, the milk freezes, expands and pushes out like a little milk poop out the top of the bottle with the little metal cap on the top of the bottle on top of it. So it looks like it's kind of rising out like a snake of frozen milk.
Would you still drink that or would that put you off?
No, you cut that bit off, defrost it, and away you go. But frozen milk is never quite the same. Something happens, I think, when you freeze. There's some reaction.
Yeah.
So it separates sometimes a little bit. But anyway, you know, it was if it was a frosty morning, your milk might have frozen. If it was very cold, the milkman leaves the milk out. They come around at like 5 a.m. or something like that. So your milk is fully frozen when you go to get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I wonder if it's in a bag, obviously the bag can expand and contract slightly, whereas the glass bottle is just completely inflexible, so the milk has to escape somehow. And by God, it does.
My mother-in-law was saying that over here in Jersey, I don't know if this is the same like in England or whatever, they used to have like foil tops for the milk. So milk would get delivered.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like a foil
tops
foil
or whatever.
Top.
But over here, there's a lot of seagulls, so they had to quickly do away with the foil tops because the seagulls would peck into it. Yeah, and then they would like eat the cream off the top of the milk thing. And
clever
like everybody
seagulls,
used to
honestly.
Drive everybody nuts. Like she I has bet. Like these childhood memories of these fucking seagulls just like shitting up all of her milk. It's pretty funny.
It was like a silver top for full cream milk.
Yeah,
it was like I think it was a hashtag blue and silver for. Like semi and gold top was like the extra creamy, super special milk.
So why did this stop? Why did we stop having milkmen deliver?
Because
what changed?
I think the difference is this was obviously, this was before supermarkets were a thing, right? And people, I think, didn't go out and buy. Also, you just generally didn't buy huge things of milk. You'd run out of milk and people need it for their cereal and, by God, in Britain, for their tea, right? So you go through a lot of milk and you have it, a couple of bottles delivered every other day or every few days or whatever.
Yeah.
And that sets you up. And you get orange juice delivered as well. And then you could get eggs. So you could basically get the stuff that you needed that you maybe hadn't purchased in the last few days. You get it delivered. And if you live... if you're elderly, you don't want to have to go out shopping all the time. This is before internet shopping. You have to go to the supermarket. You got to buy all the milk. It's heavy. It's one of the heavier things you're going to buy.
Does milk last longer these days, or does it still last?
Well, like, UHT like, milk does. Like,
if you get Cravendale, that lasts for fucking ages.
Yeah,
by the
you
way.
Can get. Like,
shout out to Cravendale.
That used to be the issue, I guess, that it just went out of date so quick. But I've switched over to like oat milk and coconut milk now, and it's like just it never seems to go out of date. Like, it takes me about 2 weeks to get through a carton. I'm sure it is going out.
I'll tell you
date,
what, there's nothing worse than when milk turns, though. Holy fuck, it's so gross. Like, Jesus, the smell.
It's quick
and
as well. It's
the
like,
taste,
bam.
Too, when you accidentally drink some and it's like curdling. Oh, no.
You put that in your tea. Oh. You have a sip of tea before all the bits
and there's lumps in your tea.
It floats to the top. Oh.
Yuck.
Fortunately, there's a visual aid that is out of date, you know,
what?
When you put
it's
it in
tea.
It's
not green, Lewis. It's not a cartoon.
No, it's not.
No, but it's still like, it's different. You know, the tea looks different when you put out of date milk in there and
I'm not talking about yogurted milk, like milks that literally turn solid. I'm talking when it's just gone off.
You guys ever get that when you make a cup of tea and it looks like there's like a like grease spots like on top of the tea? Like you ever see that?
Yeah, I think that's if you've put the milk in when the water is too hot.
Oh,
and
right.
I think what it because my dad grease. Was saying to me, he doesn't drink milk in his tea, he drinks like fucking herbal tea now.
Right.
But which I can't
stand.
In my
day, we had herbs and we had tea, but we didn't think about combining
the herbs and the tea, and then they combined it with hot water, of all things. I could not believe my eyes at the time.
It's just like complete. My life is ruined by this.
I can't. What's happening to the world? Everyone's in such a hurry to combine herbs and tea and water. It's crazy.
So anyway, he said that you're meant to put the milk in the cup first. And one of the reasons is so that it doesn't scald the milk.
Right.
Because obviously if you've got cold milk and you're adding hot water, it's adding it to cold so that there's, you know what I mean? There's less shock for the milk.
There's like a chemical reaction.
If you add it to boiling hot water, I think it can scald the milk and separate it. And then you get the grease spots. I believe.
Ben.
I'm sure someone on the podcast is already typing a furious Reddit comment. I noticed that, oh, by the way, the comments for our last episode. Do you want to hear these?
Yeah, sure.
These are actually funny. This made me laugh because I imagine that a lot of the people who don't bother to comment just listen to the podcast and enjoy it. But a lot of the people that listen...
Or they don't. Maybe they get really angry by it. Like it's
well, their, maybe, but I think most of them take to the out. Internet to complain. So this guy's complaining about the fact that we, you and I, Sips, prefer streaming, and he's complaining that some people don't have time to watch a stream,
right.
And he wants to see an edited video, and there's a lot of support for that.
Sure.
Then there's people argue... This guy says they actually did pour hot oil on people and molten tar from windows above main doorways. And then this guy says, if it happened, it would have been rare. Just like Lewis said, in the podcast, oil was very expensive. Most of us didn't have enough of it. What was used is boiling water and heated sand. And then he says, yeah, that's true. Oil was quite rare. And I'm thinking, yeah, we literally covered that. So this guy's complaining, but
maybe they were role-playing being the podcasters in the thread.
And then someone complains that Lewis says the words, you know, six times in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And then they get into the fact that I used the term dark ages. And I think we were talking about how terrible it would have been. And then they start
racist.
Correcting us and all the rest. No, it's nothing to do with race. It's dark because they lack the history from that period. That's literally what it refers to. It's not. It's dark because it's like trying to find
it's
out what
gritty.
Happened and
it's
in
not
the dark.
Like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no, it's literally the people weren't writing shit down the way they had.
For once, I'd like to do a podcast, okay, and then go onto the subreddit and see a post that has just like 20,000 upvotes and it has some crazy like 15,000 comments and all of the comments are just lol. Like actually people just laughing because the podcast
was
so
great.
Hilarious.
Lol. Yeah,
just it was
lol.
The funniest podcast. And they don't even need to elaborate or anything, just lol.
So what are you saying, like, automatically, as if, like, in future when we all have, like, chips in our brain, like, it automatically, if someone, you know, enjoys a podcast, at the end of it, it also posts on the Reddit thread, lol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you did get done for spamming, though, right? You're not allowed to.
That's true. The mods would be like, no.
No, we're going to step in and stop this. This looks like people are having fun on the internet. Ban it!
So, Questo, okay. This week something did happen that's interesting.
Right.
For a day.
Yeah.
Last week.
Uh-huh.
And so you guys would have completely forgotten about this by everyone listening by the time this comes around. Because but it did happen in this last week. It snowed. Real bad.
Oh.
And everyone is already like past it.
Did it They're snow like, there for you? It snowed for like a minute for us here in London.
We got hail down here.
Oh shit, you guys didn't have any snow?
No, hail not really. Here. I mean, it was like a millimeter of snow on top of the cars. That's it. Because it rained, then the rain turned into sleet, then the sleet turned into snow, and then it stopped. And then it snowed again that day, like really fairly late in the day. And at that point, I was upstairs, I was doing some writing, and I hear from downstairs, Daddy! Daddy! And I think, oh my God, one of them's like poured boiling oil on themselves or something like that.
So I go, discovered that you could combine chocolate and milk.
Yeah, exactly.
The greatest discovery of the 21st century.
I go tearing downstairs, panicking. My heart's going, and my daughter goes, it's snowing. I was like, don't you do that to me. Why did you do that? You almost gave me a heart attack. I said, I know it's snowing. It's been snowing all day. Why are you screaming? She was like, well, it's exciting. And I felt really bad. But at the same time, for God's sake, can't you just say, Dad? I'm like, what? It's snowing. Isn't it cool? I'll be like, yeah, love, that's cool. Instead of screaming, okay. Like you're on fire.
I love that. I love that. Can you temper your childish wonder and dreams and enthusiasm, please?
I've had
please?
All the joy sucked out of me. I'm not able to partake. Please,
yeah.
Tone
very
it down.
Busy playing Dota Auto Chess.
Just Instagram it to me, honey. Just put it on Instagram.
Oh my God. Guys, I have a lot of things to cover from last. I've had a really busy week for once.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
What happened?
Tons of shit has happened to me, okay?
Okay.
Where do you want me to start? Do you want the big news first?
At the beginning.
Big news first.
All right.
And then
okay.
We can skip the rest of it.
The big news is that there is a new member of my family. He is a spur-thighed Greek tortoise named Terry.
You bought a tortoise?
I bought a spur-thighed tortoise. He's like 2.5 years old. He's about the size of the palm of your hand. He's like really small. He's very active. He likes to run around a lot. He's got a little enclosure. Yeah. And
spur thigh.
Yeah, he likes to bask. I got him a little basking light that
he's a hand size.
He's like really small. He's tiny. And he likes to eat leafy greens, flax. I know you're probably not going to be too thrilled about that, but that's what he likes to eat.
You know me, hamburger in one hand, steak in the other. That's all.
They can live for 200 years.
I know. Wow. Yeah, they can live for a very long time. So like if he's healthy, and everything goes according to plan, we're going to have to include him in our will, which is kind of weird.
Wow.
You have to say,
oh my God,
please, can you take over ownership of Terry after I die?
So hang on, first of all, questions. Did you name him?
No, I didn't. I was like my kids. So I took my kids on like a typical dad day, right? My wife was super tired, needed a rest or whatever. So I was like, all right, kids, get in the car.
So like the one day that dad takes over, you end up coming home with a fucking tortoise.
I didn't come home with it. There was a lot of like debate and discussion about it. But so I took them out to like get a couple of things because we had to go up to the store, had to buy some new shoes for my daughter. She wanted some new shoes. So I take my daughter. Okay, my daughter's three. I take her to get some shoes, okay? And we're looking at the shoes, and she likes pink Minnie Mouse shoes. And, like, I'm trying to get her sneakers, you know, like something that she can walk in or whatever.
Something cool. But yeah, you don't want to be seen with a girl wearing pink slip-on Barbie shoes.
Yeah.
You want a kid who's
so
got
we're
cool
looking
kicks.
At these shoes, and she sees a pair that she likes. She's like, I want these ones. I was like, okay, do you guys have like this size?
Do you have any money?
So they go back and check.
Well, how are you going to afford them?
They come
them,
back and they're like, no, we only have like the one size bigger. I was like, well, you don't want clown shoes. Like you need your size. You don't want to have like these big fucking battleship, you know, shoes on your feet that don't fit sort of thing. So she's like, okay. So I was like, let's find another pair that you like instead. She's like, all right. And she's like super particular. So it's like kind of... It you know, it's like you're really like on the knife's edge sometimes, like she could just melt down and have like a tantrum sort of thing if things don't quite go her way. So like I'm being like very diplomatic, very careful, like, all right, they don't have these shoes, like let's pick another pair, I'm sure we'll find a better pair and stuff. And she's cool with that. She's like, yeah, okay. So we go over and take a look, and I'm like, oh, what about these ones? There was like a pair that were very similar to the pink ones, but they were red and they had like purple and pink on them. And they were Minnie Mouse as well. And she's like, no, I don't like those. I was like, what? Like, they're pretty much, no, I don't like those ones. It's like, okay. And then she fucking picks up like a pair of Cinderella princess heels for like a 3-year-old. They're like, it looked like something that you'd wear like on the red carpet, like in Hollywood or something, you know? Like it was just not sportswear. It wasn't like, she's not going to be running around like kicking a ball or anything in these things. Like literally they're like shoes that you step out of a limo in and then you take them off when you're sitting at your seat because they're super uncomfortable or whatever.
God damn.
So these are the shoes that she decides she wants. So I was like going along with it. I was like, there's no way they're going to have her size. So I was like, oh yeah, excuse me. Do you have this size? They're like, yeah, of course we do. Yeah, here they are. Oh fuck. So I ended up buying these high heels for my 3-year-old daughter, which is kind of weird, but she really likes them anyway. So that was fun. So we did that. And we did a couple of other things. And then I was like, hey, do you guys want to go to the pet store? It's like just in here. Maybe they have like some guinea pigs or something we can go look at. Like, and they're like, yeah, let's go in. So we went in and there was like no guinea pigs. There was like one rabbit. There was like fucking, like it was like post Christmas, right? So there was just like nothing. And then in the corner, there's this.
Sorry, mate. We had a busy Christmas. We fucking sold shit loads of guinea pigs. Yeah. Fucking sold out.
They were all gone. Jesus. There was nothing. And then in the corner, all by himself, just chilling, is this little tortoise. So we go up and look at him, and he comes running up to the glass, and he's like trying to climb out, and he looked super excited. My kids just like fell in love with him instantly. So I was like, oh,
what
great.
Kind of terminology are you using around this tortoise?
I'm in.
It's a fucking tortoise. I know. They're the opposite.
Well, listen, I was in your camp. I was in your camp before I was recently converted. They never stop.
Is it because you're getting old and quite slow that you think he's like?
No, I was
moving
like
quickly.
You know,
is this a perspective thing? It's like the Doppler effect.
Not at all. Like they are super, super active. It's crazy. He was just tearing around like in his cage yesterday, like all day. He'd eat,
and the rabbit's like really, really sluggish and tired out.
Yeah, yeah. He would just keep. He did like 50 laps around his cage, and then he had a little sleep, and then he woke up again and did quite much the same. And then fucking, I turned off his light at like 8 o'clock, but he'd already sort of gone to bed. So I turned off his like basking light, and he needs a UV light as well, because like it's just like for his skin and bones and stuff.
Okay,
Wait a second. You own a rabbit and a tortoise.
No, I don't own a rabbit. No, just the tortoise. Lewis was crowbarring in a rabbit for some reason. I don't know why.
Because I was going to say, I mean, you've got to have that race if you own those two things.
I don't have both.
Oh, damn it. Buy a rabbit.
Man, he fucking slept for like 12 hours. It was crazy. Like, just flat out. He was just like so tired from doing his exercise all day and stuff. And I came back in like later on in the evening to play some computer games. It was like maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night or whatever. He's fucking just like sleeping. He's just like, whatever. Like not didn't even startle him, nothing. Like he's just like, and then this morning at 8 o'clock or whatever, I came in to turn his lights and stuff on. Cause they need the basking light and they need the UV light like on for like, you know, 12 hours a day or whatever. So you turn him on in the morning and he's just fucking sitting there waiting, like just looking like, yeah, where's my food? Like all of his food that I gave him yesterday was gone. It's fucking hilarious. It's really good.
What a character. What a character.
Yeah.
What a character. So, okay. So first of all, Terry, you didn't name him, or did you?
Well, because he's too small to tell what sex he is. So, and the kids were like, let's call him Terry the Tortoise. And I was like, all right, yeah, Terry's fine. And then, you know, if it turns out it's not a guy, it's a girl,
Terry still works, right? Terry Hatcher, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you'd name them Terry after Terry Wogan. Because if Terry Wogan was an animal, obviously he'd be a tortoise. Very slow, deep voice, very chill.
It's just a funny name. It was the toss-up between that and Alan.
I think Terry's good.
A very famous tortoise was called Timmy the Tortoise.
Yeah.
And she lived from 1844 to 2004. She was the oldest resident of the UK.
Yeah.
Her name, obviously, she was called Timothy before
they could determine her or sex. Yeah, yeah.
They didn't know. Like, I guess, like, so how old's Terry?
Well, Terry's like 2.5 years old. So, I mean,
he's just a shit. Baby.
He'll grow to be like about the size of a dinner plate in the end.
Good
but
God.
For now, he's
so
just like,
where
really
are you
going
to keep him?
I just got him in a cage in the garage here. I had a camera set up on him yesterday. I had a Terry cam for my stream yesterday.
I missed that shit.
And people were watching him run around and stuff like that. It was really good. So holy he's shit. Already, he's not shy either. He's not camera shy. Like, it was uncanny. Like when
because he doesn't know what it is.
When I'd flip away from the camera, he would, you know, and he didn't have any screen time, he would just go chill in the corner or whatever. And then every time I'd flip back to check on him, he would just come fucking racing out and start doing his tricks and stuff. It was hilarious. He was just running around, climbing
he's
in his bowl.
He's just a natural performer. He really, honestly.
He really, yeah. He's got that built-in razzle-dazzle. He knows when to turn it on and turn it off and stuff. It's crazy. So, yeah. So, the kids love him as well. And they can see him from. So, this coincides with me. Some good news, boys. I quit vaping. I've just stopped. I just kicked Whoa. The habit straight up. I just last Friday, I ran out of juice and I said, no way. I'm not buying anymore. I'm sick of this crap leaking all over the place and having to replace coils and this and that and the other. So now that Terry's in here as well, I can't start vaping again because I can't subject Terry to like those vapors and stuff too, which means that now I can open my blinds in the garage. I don't have to hide away like some secret closet vapist.
Why do you have to hide away?
Well, because I don't want people. I have a really big window in the garage that people walk by all the time, and I don't want them to look in and just see some like fat old man vaping while he's playing computer games. So I used to close the blinds, right? But now I can have the blinds open.
I am not ashamed of my fat old vapingness at all.
I was a little bit self-conscious about it, so I was like, I didn't want my kids necessarily like watching me do that either.
I think that's because you were never a real smoker.
It's a personal choice, yeah. So now I can open the blinds, which means that the kids can actually see Terry from in the house because there's like a window that they can go to and look out into the garage and see Terry perfectly from there. They don't necessarily have to like come out every time they want to see him and stuff too. And he's an internet phenomenon now as well on the webcam, so they could it's more viewers for my stream, right? I can get the kids to watch my stream on mute, of course, absolutely. And they can see Terry
of
and
course
stuff.
Kid friendly now. Yeah, well, he might as well make his own Twitch channel. He might branch out on his own or her own. Yeah.
Is there a big Christian Twitch streamer? I've been wondering if someone's
tapped
into.
Yeah, me actually. That's 2019. I'm trying a couple of new things in 2019. I really want to make it big this year. So
you quit vaping and you found Christ.
I found Jesus H and
no, you got to call him Christ.
Christ, I found him with a capital H. I found him. Yeah. I've been praising him every day and just trying to get like people in
that's
the chat.
That's the way they do it. You got to praise
his glory and stuff as well.
You can't take a day off with the praising. You got to praise him every day.
So yeah, so just trying a couple of things, like I thought, if none of this works out, maybe I just play some Fortnite or something, see if I can, maybe get big off that or like Apex Legends. That's the new
battle royale. We're playing that later.
So, okay, let's talk for a second about Timothy, right? Fucking, so how do you think Timothy was found, right?
What, dead, you mean?
What's the earliest record? No, like, found him in the first place in 1844.
I reckon he was found on some island
by
some English explorer.
It was like an expedition. It was like one of those, like, British expeditions where they have, like, a thermos with their tea in and stuff.
Yeah. Pith helmets and...
Pretty close.
Locals carrying things.
Captain John Guy Courtney Everard
of course
the Royal Navy.
Yeah.
He was, I think he obviously, did, I don't know how he got involved with this, but they were raiding a Portuguese privateer.
In the 19th century.
He was in the hands of a Portuguese privateer.
It's always something really grim when, like, in history, when the British discover, like, a turtle or something. It's always like, Mr. Captain, the Honorable Captain Henry Ramsbottom, was mortally wounded at the Battle of Vindaloo, and then while he was clutching his gangrene-ridden penis in a trench, Timothy the tortoise turned up and suckled all the gangrene off of his penis, and they became the best of friends forever after that. It's always something like that.
Article.
It's always a story like that.
It's close, So basically, he was thought to have been born on the shores of the Mediterranean, or maybe Turkey, and he was found in this privateer around 10. the captain adopted him as a sort of mascot on the ship, or her, I guess, eventually. They found out, and they were on a series of Navy vessels, and then eventually ship's mascot of HMS Queen during the first bombardment of Sevastopol in the Crimean War.
Wow.
So she was the last survivor of the Crimean War, and then she kept being bounced around through lots of different ship's captains, like passed along like some sort of, I don't know, like ceremonial ship's mascot.
Right.
And eventually the Earl of Devon took her to his home, Powderham Castle, and etched on her underside, "Where have I fallen? What have I done?" Which is the English translation of the Courtney family motto. Okay.
Where have I fallen is their motto.
Yeah.
Well, so they were all...
Where have I fallen?
They'd all fucking lost their mind. What's going on? What a great motto. Where am I? Have I had dinner?
I've fallen and I can't get up. Clap on, clap off. The clapper.
That's
what
I'm
going to engrave.
What am I fucking doing?
So that's the Yorkscast family motto. Then from 1935 onwards, she's lived in the castle's rose garden. So she lived there for almost 80 years.
Right.
Fucking hell.
Well, wow. That's all fine and everything, but Terry's only two, and so far he's lived in my garage and the pet shop.
But that's exactly what I'm saying.
But he's
got,
he's lived for
potentially
like 200 years
he's ahead
do
of
some
him,
crazy
Sips.
Shit, I'm sure, yeah. He survived the
zombie
apocalypse.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just think in 200 years what he's going
to
see.
Yeah, he was handed down to like many generations of my dynasty as well. And then he managed to survive a tidal wave and a couple of earthquakes. And then after the zombie apocalypse, the world was just tornadoes. That's all there was. Just tons of, he survived all those too. Man, it's fucking Terry's. He can do it.
The oldest tortoise in the world is Jonathan. He is 187.
Wow.
It's Seychelles giant tortoise.
How do they live so long? That's nuts, eh?
He lives on St. Helena.
Yeah.
And the St. Helena 5P has a picture of him on it.
Wow.
Amazing.
Some very...
He is alive and well. However, he is blind from cataracts, has lost all of his sense of smell.
How many viewers does he pull on Twitch out of interest? Because, like, Terry had, you know, a couple thousand yesterday. Easy.
Eos coruerunt et ego non possum sugere. I have fallen and I can't get up. That's my family motto. I'm going to put that with a fucking emblem of a lad who's fallen over and can't get up.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
It's a very classic saying.
Oh, fuck me. Oh. Yeah, so listen. Fucking so up. We got Terry, okay? And now everybody's pretty excited. There's a big buzz around the house. Not only that, though. Not only that.
I love how you talk about this shit.
What a politician
that,
he is.
We got one of those fucking air fryers as well. Holy
no fucking
shit.
Way. What's happening
oh,
to you?
Oh, my God. This thing is fucking amazing. Holy crap. You put a little tiny bit of sunflower oil in. You can make your own chips out of potatoes. You can
air
put in.
Fryer.
You can make a fry up if you want. Yeah, it's called Active Fry. It's like a.
This thing's $7,000.
No, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, you can get one for like 100 quid
or like 100
eBay.
Pounds or something.
J.M. Posner, light fry, oil free fryer. £10,000.
No, you're looking at.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You're looking at the wrong
What are you looking
there.
At? You're, Sips isn't running a fucking cafe.
No. It's a,
so it,
it's,
does, it doesn't it, need to be industrial size.
No, it's
saying.
A Tefal Active Fry. Air fryer.
Two in one,
I
low
found
fat,
it.
Two
healthy
in,
air
two
fryer.
Two in one. Yeah.
It's 100 beans. All right,
yeah,
let's
there
have a
you
look
go.
At this
That's
thing.
The one.
Look at this thing.
Man, so.
So is it like a
so even
cooker
if you don't want to cut up your own potatoes and put like a little tiny bit of oil in to make really delicious chips, okay? You can just put in oven chips without oil and it'll do them up, like using the
oh
oil
God.
That's already on there perfectly. It tastes like you're having like chips from a cafe. Like
it looks like a. Big fat vape,
oh,
doesn't it?
It's incredible. It's fucking awesome. It's so good. You could do other shit in it too. We've only like, it's only the tip of the iceberg.
You've
the
scratched the surface of air fry capability.
That's it. Listen. We got it just because we wanted to make some chips, but now we're like, holy fuck, we could make so much more with this. We could put in like some meat-free chicken nuggets in there. We could try that. Onion rings, we can make those in there too.
Listen to this, my friend. From chips to curries to meat and even desserts.
Yes.
The Tefal Active Fry Original Health Fryer can cook all your favorite meals in less time and with less oil, requiring just 1 teaspoon of oil to cook chips, wings, onion rings, and all your other fried favorites. You can indulge yourself without the hefty calorie intake. Get crispy, perfectly cooked comfort foods with none of the guilt. And Juul Motion Technology. If you've ever forgotten to shake your chips midway through air frying, you'll know how annoying it can be to find they've only crisped up on one side. With Juul Motion Technology, hot air can reach every surface area of your food for perfect even cooking. There's an automatic stirring paddle to make sure everything is evenly covered
it's
and crisped
so true.
To perfection.
Not one
and the transparent
word of that is
lets you check
flex.
The progress of your food without having to open the basket and lose all the heat. And that's not all. You can say goodbye to scrubbing burnt oil off your kitchenware at the end of a great meal. All the parts of the X-Fry original dishwasher safe and also have an Austate coating so you won't struggle even if washing by hand. With a removable timer that you can take elsewhere in the house, you can carry on with your dinner with confidence you won't find your food has burnt. Only with the T-Fowl Actifry Original FZ710840 Health Fryer in
oh,
black.
Oh, God. Big shout out to our sponsors, T-Fowl, today for the
T-Fowl
podcast.
T-Fowl Actifry.
But no, honestly, this thing is fucking awesome. Like, I would highly recommend getting one if you're into that.
Well,
sort of
I trust
thing.
Your opinion over the fucking T-Fowl website any day.
Yeah, no,
Mrs.
No,
F will be sold on that. Another piece of crap for our kitchen.
Well, that's Christmas. That's birthday present.
Yeah,
so
no, it is, and it's a loud piece of crap too. But it makes really good chips. Like it's like really really decent chips.
So
like,
could I
like
buy
chips.
The kind of chips that need to be deep fried and fry them in the T-Fowl active fryer?
As long as you put a little bit of oil, yes.
Wow. And how much oil would I need to use?
Like a teaspoon.
Amazing.
Yeah, because wow. You know what it does? It like creates an oil mist and sprays it around. So it doesn't need the volume that you'd normally dunk them in.
What if you open it while it's on? Is it a bit like one of those medieval oil barrel things where it goes all over you?
Yeah, like it's like a white hot mist.
It's like a sprinkler, but with hot oil.
Yeah. Ouch, 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 it's burning on me.
Dang! Is it snow or is it, have you opened the active fry? I opened the active fry.
My eyes are melting.
God.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah, so, and also, okay, there's more, guys. I've been
but
so
there's
fucking.
More.
There's more. So the Active Fry is great, man. Everybody's loving it. The house is buzzing. We got this Active Fry. We got Terry.
Morale on the ship is
man,
high.
Man, it's sky high. We've never been happier as a family. Like everybody's going nuts. Okay, but then, okay, for every positive in this world, I truly believe there has to be a negative, right? So
yeah, it's the
we got
balance,
Terry,
the eternal balance.
Everyone loves them. We got the Active Fry. Everyone loves it. Makes great chips and stuff. So we get these bedside lamps, okay? We like the style of this certain one. This is another thing that I had to pick up on the Saturday when I was
oh
out with
God,
the kids,
here we
right?
go. I'm already feeling the crushing disappointment coming
this
in.
I was out with
be
the
bad.
Kids. I had to get some new bedside lamps, okay?
If there's one thing that can ruin an otherwise great week, it's a bad lamp.
Well, yeah, this is it. So I pick up these lamps. I look at them and I'm like, hang on a second. Touch dimmable. That sounds great. No more switch or anything. You just touch it anywhere on the metal part of the lamp. And it had like three dimming settings. So you touch it and it would like come on. And then it'd be a little bit brighter if you touch it again. And then it'd be super bright if you touch it again. And then if you touch it again.
I should have warned you about these.
It turns off, right? Mm. So I'm like, great. That's amazing. So we get them. I get the bulb screwed in, everything. It like 2 seconds of setup. It was perfect. It was great. Plugged it in. Good to go. Looks great. Bedroom is just like looks nice. Now we got these nice lamps or whatever. Cool. So like I'm a bit of a night owl. Okay. Like my wife goes to bed at a reasonable hour, like 10, 11 o'clock at night or whatever. I go to bed at like 2 a.m. Okay. I stay
amen,
up after
amen,
she goes
brother.
To bed.
I will
and
stay
I,
up till
I play
whenever,
video games like, and stuff in my garage. And I have no shame about like I love my life right now. Like I get a lot of free time to just play video games and get angry at video games. I got Terry out here now keeping me company while I do that. And so my wife's asleep, the kids are asleep. Cool. The whole house is dark, right? So I come in, it's like 2 a.m. or whatever. Bloodshot eyes. I just had a real, real heavy session of fucking auto chess. You know, won a couple of games, lost a couple. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So I get in. I like lock the door, turn off some. Like my wife always leaves lights on like downstairs for me to come in and stuff, which is really nice. So I'm turning the lights off and stuff. House is pitch black. Start walking up the stairs, and all of a sudden, bing! Fucking bedroom light comes on. I was like, oh shit! I guess my wife like didn't go to bed, or she just heard me coming up, so she's like switched the light on or whatever. So it's like, oh, okay, weird. Like, I hope everything's okay. So I get to the top of the stairs, go into the bedroom, look in, expecting to see my wife, like, sitting up, like, waiting to say hi or something like that. She's, like, in a fucking coma, okay? But the light is on, and it just come on. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? Is she like playing a prank on me or something? Like what? She just like turned the light on and then went like right back to the deepest sleep she's ever had or something. So like, oh, that's kind of fucking weird. So like I said, like, yeah, are you up? And she, like no response whatsoever. So I was like, all right, fucking, I'll just switch off the light. Man, I go to bed. Seriously, like 6 or 7 more times that night, the fucking light, the bedside light just came on full blast randomly. Like, I'd be turning over to, like, you know, adjust myself in my sleep and get comfortable or whatever. The fucking light is on. And I was like, what the fuck? So we wake up in the morning. I was like, why did you keep switching the light on in the middle of the night? Like, were you having, like, sleepwalking or something? She's like, no.
It was Terry. He wanted the lamp.
No, it wasn't
oh
even.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't even Terry. She was like, no. This fucking lamp just kept switching itself on randomly in the night. I had to keep switching it off. And then my son came in at like 5 o'clock in the morning. He was like, oh, can I sleep in? Why is the light on? I was like, fuck, I don't know why the light's on. Like, it just keeps switching itself on. I don't know what's going on.
God, get rid of this fucking lamp. This lamp is bringing down an otherwise perfect week.
So,
get it out.
So either our house is haunted by ghosts who switch on these lamps in the middle of the night, or there's like some weird radio interference around my house that I was unaware of or something, but it seems to only happen at night because I left them plugged in during the day and they never switched on or off during the day randomly. And then at night, all of a sudden, it's just like a fucking switch on, switch off at random.
I have a theory.
Fiesta.
I have a theory. There's no one in the bedroom during the day, right?
Right.
But at night, you've got people in there. Now, I'm assuming that you sleep under a duvet.
Uh-huh.
Right? When you move, little hot air escapes from the duvet and the lamp gets confused because it's probably just a temperature thing, right? It might just be like if it feels a change in temperature on its surface or something, maybe that's enough to trigger it. Or you got yourself a faulty lamp there, sir. I'd take it back to the store and complain.
But I had to unplug them. I would not risk that again. I don't like to be woken up by it.
So now you have a lamp that you have to have unplugged. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Yeah, what's wrong with a switch?
I'm taking it.
Is perfect. It's on, it's off.
I'm going to take them back.
Take them back. Take them back and take Terry with you.
So
I want to know what he'd have to say about
this. I'm sorry for like hijacking the whole podcast, but I've had a busy week, like I said.
You've had an interesting week, dude.
Listen to this. So I go to get Terry, okay? And I had to buy all the lights and stuff. Tortoises are expensive, okay? And I don't mind telling you, I spent about £190 on gear for him. Like,
wow.
Okay.
It's expensive. Yeah, you need lights. You need like all this stuff.
You got to treat him.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So £190, I'm like, all right, cool. You know, the kids really like him. We love him and stuff. He's worth it and stuff. Cool. So the lady charges me £190 and I put my pin in, walk away. I didn't even check or anything. Later on that night, my wife is on internet banking and she's like, whoa. It's like, what's going on? She's like, holy crap, I think they overcharged you at the pet shop. It's like, oh shit, like what, you know, what happened? She's like, well, they charged us £1,920.
Oh my God.
I was like, holy crap, that's a really expensive tour. She's like, did you not fucking check when you
Terry
put your pin in?
Here.
I was like,
Terry,
oh fuck.
Terry, what have you been doing with my credit card? Very slowly purchasing more lamps.
You get so complacent with paying with cards and stuff, don't you? Like, I never fucking check. You know, like,
I don't like is when they have to key in the amount, I'm always thinking they could fuck that up. You know what I mean?
They could fuck it up in your favor as well, right?
They like, could.
Sometimes,
they could.
But...
But I think it's more likely that they'd push one too many than one too few.
Well, that's never happened to me before except for this time. So now I'll be super vigilant. But surprisingly, like, I was just going to go in and sort it out. But they phoned me before I could even leave the house in the morning. They're like, oh, sir, we're really sorry. We think we overcharged you. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I know. We noticed. I'm like just coming in to do it right now.
I'll put my bat away now that you're amenable.
But, man, I feel like if it would have been like, you know, some places would have probably just been like, oh, shit, yeah, we just got paid like fucking 1,000 times more than we should have for that. Let's not mention it sort of thing. See if they don't notice. But... I appreciated the honesty.
I feel like the only pet shop in Jersey, probably.
Man, surprisingly, there's like 4 or 5 over here. It's kind of nuts.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I did something reasonably interesting on Sunday. I went for a meal. I went for a very nice meal at Heston Blumenthal's restaurant in Knightsbridge.
Oh.
So my friend Blitz, Dota guy, you might know, he comes over to London from time to time. And when he does, we go out for a meal. It's like a little tradition that we've got. So I've been taking him out to a place around here up in Richmond. Very nice. And this time he was like, come to this place. It's amazing. So it was called Dinner by Heston Blumenthal, right? It was like in the Oriental Mandarin Hotel. And I immediately thought the Mandarin Oriental is kind of like a super old-fashioned name, because I don't think you'd call a hotel the Oriental these days, I guess. But anyway, it's still called that.
Well, what would you call it?
Mandarin Hotel, maybe? I don't know. I think that I believe the term Oriental is considered out of date.
Right.
Yes, but anyway, I believe so.
So it's a very fancy place. Marble staircases, amazing carpets. You go to open the door and there's like three dudes opening the door for you. Good afternoon, sir. Good evening. You know, blah, blah, blah. We got into the restaurant. Great bar. The bar was amazing. Fantastic cocktails. And then we sat down for dinner. Genuinely phenomenal meal. Like just stunning. Every aspect of it was beautiful and perfect. And the food is based, I thought it was going to be like fancy stuff like Parmesan foam and beef pellets and, you know, all that kind of experimental stuff. But instead, he'd gone the other way. And all these recipes were from like hundreds of years ago that he'd updated slightly, but had maintained the same concept.
Okay.
I looked at the menu and it all sounded good, but there was steak and chips, and it was triple fried chips, which is something that Heston Blumenthal invented, triple cooking chips, right? And I thought, I've never had a triple cooked chip in my life. Forget about the air fry. I want to know what this is like.
So, can you triple fry with the air fry?
I presume you could, but whatever method he's got,
you'd have to use 3 teaspoons of oil, and then it started to become unhealthy.
But there's obviously, I don't think he literally just fries them 3 times. There's obviously some process that's going on. But they're triple cooked chips. They were unbelievable. And the sauce that went on top of the steak, it was like a really, it was not this slab of meat. It was like a delicate, perfect piece of meat. Beautifully cooked. Sauce was amazing. Chips were amazing. The dessert was this brioche and this amazing sauce in like a little pot, which was amazing, with this strip of pineapple. Because that was considered a real delicacy back in the day, like hundreds of years ago. It was like people would have them as a centerpiece on their dinner table. You'd hire a pineapple if you were having a dinner party just to put in the middle of the table because it was such an exotic thing, right? So they cook this pineapple for like 4 hours. They spit roast it and they're pouring syrup and all this over it. Literally for 4 hours, this thing is cooking. And that was incredible. And then they say, would you like us to make ice cream for you at the table? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to see how you do that. Let's go. So they used liquid nitrogen.
Whoa.
A big fucking jug of it. And they have this ice cream
mix. You get a lot of that with that guy, don't you? He's like,
yeah. But there's the waitress, or the wait server, or whatever people call him these days, the waiter. She comes out with this fucking jug of liquid nitrogen. And I'm thinking, this is the point where she's holding a jug of potentially deadly chemical. Because if she threw it in your face, I'm pretty sure you're gonna die, right? And I was worried.
Yeah.
She's pouring it towards this thing, and a tiny, tiny drop of it splashed onto my sock. Just the tiniest little drop of liquid nitrogen just sort of misted down and landed on my sock. And I thought I was gonna shatter like the T-1000 at the end of Terminator 2. You know, when they freeze him. But I didn't. I was okay. But I imagine if she'd poured more and a lot of it had spilled onto my sock, I would have lost a foot. And I thought maybe this is a good idea on paper, but I'm not so sure it has a health and safety standards up to par. But the ice cream was very good, so fuck it.
It's definitely not, like, safe to use, but it's not as dangerous as you think it is.
If I spilled it on myself, would I die?
No, you wouldn't die. It causes rapid freezing of your skin, which is obviously incredibly bad. They use it to treat things like warts, don't
right,
they?
Right.
Verrucas.
But a tiny bit on a piece of cotton. Like, I've had that done when I was a kid. I had a verruca that wouldn't go, and they literally freezed it off. Like, it hurts a fair old bit, but they just put a tiny bit on a cotton swab and then it's done. But if you poured a jug of it on your foot, I'm guessing you'd lose your foot. At least a frostbite, right? I mean, it's...
Oh, that wouldn't be good. No, you definitely wouldn't want to do that. But I think like a little couple of splashes on fabric is probably
You're
fine.
You're okay. All right, good. Because I've been looking at my foot every few days just checking for frostbite, just in case.
You'd notice. You would notice.
You're not suddenly just going to like look at your foot one day and it's suddenly like all frozen like a superhero.
Yeah, just go
and you've
black
like suddenly got
and
superpowers.
Like fall off and stuff.
I don't think you'd notice. If it was frozen, it's killed the nerve endings, right? So I was worried. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, the meal was very good. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. I'm not even taking a point off. She was fantastic, apart from the single tiny drop of apparently harmless liquid.
With the steak,
hydrogen.
Did you have some sort of sauce with it?
Yes.
What sauce was it? Because I love how you mentioned that almost in the same, like the steak was good, but also the sauce was good. The sauce is as big a part of the steak as
it absolutely was. Now,
did you get to pick or did it? Was it
no,
like,
no, it came with a sauce. I can't, like, it came with a mushroom ketchup, which was very good. And then this sauce, I can't even remember what the sauce was, but it was
my
it
God,
was amazing.
You're salivating, talking
it was
about
amazing.
It.
It was amazing. I am, because it was so good.
So I'm looking at this fucking hotel and it's super fancy. I know
it really
the kind
is.
Of meal How much was it? How much was like
the... I didn't pay. My friend paid. So Blitz paid. Because I paid, no idea I paid for the Italian meal. I mean, I would guess with the cocktails that we had beforehand, I think you're probably looking at 600 quid.
Hey, so you're right. Oriental is considered to be a derogatory term now. And I think Obama signed some legislation to ban the term from being used in federal stuff, writings and stuff. So there
but
you go.
Interestingly enough, Mrs. F, last week or the week before, was in Beirut. She went to Beirut and then she went to Abu Dhabi, both on business. And when she was in the restaurant, she called me up and she said, what is Occidental dishes? What does that mean? Like Occidental. And because I'd played Anno, right? There's the Occident yeah. and the Orient. And I knew the Occident means the West, right? And the Orient means the East. So that was, I said to her, that means like Western food. She was like, okay, gotcha. So she asked for the Occidental menu and got something off that. But she had no idea. Like, so they're still using Occidental, but we can't use Oriental. So I guess maybe because we're not offended by the term Occidental. I've never even heard of someone referring to them.
They come as a pair.
Well, they're exactly opposed. It's the Occident and the Orient. That's where it comes from.
They change over time. Like you can start off with a pair, but then one of them becomes, you know... Like, I don't know what the opposite of, like, well, I'm not going to start digging into words we can't use anymore.
All right, let's not dig around.
There's usually a reason we can't use them anymore. Yeah. I'm not sure what the reason behind using Oriental is, but it's certainly, like, it doesn't feel modern, does it?
It feels like an old-fashioned way of referring to it. Yeah. Oriental, is he? Oh, fascinating. Oriental chap. But, you know, the word Chinaman. People don't use that word anymore. So there are words that people don't use. They sort of passed out, not just of fashion, but they feel so old-fashioned, you assume that the person saying it is probably Obudin racist.
With Lydia, I used the term Chinaman a few times, and people were like, I'm not sure you can use that anymore. And I was like, it is 1835. I'm going to be as racist as I like.
If you're role-playing a racist back then, that's probably fine, yeah.
No, I mean, there's a line, definitely.
I think it's just the kind of people that tend to use those words and complain about them disappearing are the exact same kind of people who say, you know, they shouldn't be over here anyway, stuff like that. Like, those sentences seem to go together. So I think that's one of the reasons.
The reason I said 1830 was the fillet of Hereford beef. Is what you had circa 1830.
Yes.
So it's the same sort of design of something they had, you know, 100 and back in the day. Okay, let's link all this whole podcast together. Back in the day, when maybe Terry's great-great-grandmother, Timothy, the tortoise, right? Back when she was lovely sitting being bored on the beaches of Turkey in England during the colonial times. And 1830, people in Hereford were eating fillet of beef with mushroom ketchup and triple cooked chips.
Yes. Does it mention the sauce?
It doesn't mention the sauce, no.
Because it came in a little jug and it was amazing. I poured it all over that shit.
Do you want to know how much it cost?
I think it was about 85 pounds, I guess.
52 pounds it was. Okay.
How much was the tipsy cake?
The tipsy cake. Oh, the tipsy cake, spit roast pineapple, circa 1810. It was £18.50.
Oh, it was amazing. And what about...
And the other things you could have had were chocolate drops. So they were combining stuff back then, you know?
Amazing.
Brown bread ice cream.
Yeah, Mrs. F had that. She had that because her grandmother used to make brown bread ice cream. I remember.
Oh, my God. It's maybe we're wrong and people did combine stuff together.
They apparently did, but things that don't necessarily go together. Like, brown bread and ice cream, to me, is not a match. So I think we just haven't narrowed it down.
There's something for you as well, Sips. Blackberry tart, circa 1800. Saffron cake with Jersey cream. There you go.
Wow.
Fucking, see?
Wow.
We're linking everything together.
We are linking it all together.
Jeez.
Oh, we've done it. What a podcast.
What a podcast.
What a fucking podcast, everyone.
Oh, I think I fell asleep for the past, like, 10 minutes.
Because I was talking about steak. I had to listen to your shit about a fucking lamp and a tortoise, and I politely listened, but I asked questions.
I'm so sorry about that.
I started talking about a delicious meal.
Sips has a ghost. He's fried some stuff. Yeah. There's a tortoise. A word still racist? Probably. Don't say him. eat healthy or not with air fryers.
Oh, just do what you like. Christ.
Fucking be your own man.
That's right.
Or woman.
Forge your own path.
You might not know because
you might
be a turtle.
You don't need to look on WikiHow to live your life. God, just fucking figure it out. Forge your own path.
The end.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
See you later.
Goodbye.